It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, it's a new hour here. It's our final hour this week on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio. Thanks for listening at lvsportsnetwork.com and the Raiders mobile app and 920 here in Vegas. And now you get a portion of our show on YouTube and the Raiders YouTube, and just a lot of cool stuff happening as we go into week two here coming up. Quick reminder again, a pregame show on Sunday is at 8 in the morning. So we got an early one. I'll be going to the Canelo fight. We talked about that in the first hour on Saturday night, so it'll be an early one after that. But Saul Canelo, I got to go see Canelo fight. I never miss Canelo fights. I think I've only missed one of his fights in Vegas, and you never know when something great's going to happen at a fight. So I'm excited for that. Look, I'm concerned about the Raiders' injury report, especially on defensive line. Tyree Wilson, Malcolm Kuntz will be gone for the first 4 games. That's a concern. In a game like this going up against Lamar Jackson, the goal was when the schedule came out initially, you saw Lamar Jackson week two, you at least said, well, Malcolm Kuntz is going to get him and Max and Christian Wilkins. And what about Tyree Wilson? Tyree Wilson's going to find a way to make a play, maybe get him once in the game. It could be the difference. And now 2 men are down on the defensive line for the Silver and Black who have tremendous athletic ability. So that hurts as the Raiders are relatively a 9-10 point underdog in this game. But I'm choosing to be positive, and I know that's going to drive some fans crazy, but you're not sitting in the seat I am, and I want to be here, and I want the team to win. And I'm looking at ESPN.com now, and they have the Ravens a 71% matchup predictor win rate. Raiders have 28.8%. How is it going to happen here with the Raiders getting 9, or what's going to happen if it's 9.5? I don't care how you bet the game. I could give a crap, but a lot of people are going to take the Ravens in Survivor. Remember, people got wiped out at Circa Survivor last week going with Cincinnati, and Cincinnati got hammered by New England. Well, I would assume, and we'll see, that a lot of the finalists, a lot of the champions, a lot of the people that are going to be in the Survivor contest at the end might burn Baltimore right now over the Raiders at home, because how many times are you going to have an opportunity to pick Baltimore in a Survivor in a home opener, 0-1, what feels like a must-win for Baltimore too? So there's going to be a lot of negativity running downstream, downhill against the Raiders if you watch these morning shows on Sunday. No one's going to pick them to win. No one's going to think they have a chance, and the Raiders do have a chance. They're going to have to step up and play a great game as we continue. So on Friday here, I get the stats performance. We get something from Amazon services called their performance stats. And a couple of points that I wanted to bring up here on this matchup historically and what's happening going into this game. The Raiders have won 3 of their last 5 games with the Ravens, but Baltimore is 6-1 all time in the series when playing at home. So let me repeat that again. The Raiders have won 3 of 5. Couple of them here, you know, not too far gone, but they're pretty good at home here. The Ravens have scored 27-plus points the last 5 times they hosted the Raiders. That's the longest such home scoring streak against an opponent in franchise history. So the Ravens love them some Raiders, and they love to put up some points against the Raiders. The Raiders were one of only 4 AFC teams to complete 3 passes of 25 yards plus in week 1. That was the Colts, the Chiefs, the Dolphins, not the Dolphins last night, but the Dolphins week 1. And since the move to Vegas in 2020, they ranked 4th in the conference with 131 passing plays of 25-plus yards. So the Chiefs, the Texans, the teams that are ahead, the Raiders have had success airing out the football. And I think this is a game that they're going to have to air out the football. Brock Bauer, 6 receptions against the Chargers, led all Las Vegas pass catchers and with the most by a Raiders tight end in a career debut. He's one of two tight ends to debut in the last decade that caught that many receptions in their debut. The only other one was T.J. Hockenson, the same amount here. So Brock's coming off a good game. But it wasn't that noticeable because it was a bizarre game in Los Angeles. But Brock Bowers, if you look at him, a lot of people around the league said he has arrived, he looks good, and he delivered the way he was supposed to in that first game. Now, the Ravens led the NFL in week one with 450 total yards. Ouch. Okay, and they lost. Let me repeat. The Ravens led the NFL with 452 total yards in a losing effort to Kansas City. Last year, Baltimore was 3-0, and the rest of the league was 31-8 in games that they put up 450-plus total yards. In the Ravens' victories, they are 29-7 when they put up 450 or plus. I got to assume they're not going to put up 450 against the Raiders and Spillane and Diablo and Epps and Merrig and Jack Jones, Ja'Corian Bennett. I got to hope that they keep them under 400 yards, somewhere in the low threes, whatever the number's going to be. Let's count on the Raiders' defense, led by Patrick Graham. Patrick Graham's a hell of a coach, not to be giving up numbers like this. I can pretty much hope, but back up that Patrick Graham is better than the numbers that are here with the Ravens from last week. Last week, Lamar Jackson posted the second 100-yard rushing game for a quarterback in week one in NFL history. He now has 353 total rushing yards in 7 week one games. So why am I giving you that stat? I think that's really important. When the season starts for the Ravens, all they can count on is Lamar running. Very important part of this game. The strength of this team now likely is a really good tight end with Andrews. Zay Flowers is okay, but Zay Flowers isn't Jacoby Myers or Devontae Adams. But Lamar Jackson, before he finds the rhythm of the season, is going to go back to his comfort zone, which is running the football. And Antonio Pierce told us that in that interview, the discipline, the eye discipline, to keep your eyes on Lamar, but also keep your eyes on the opponent, the receiver, the running back, whoever you're supposed to guard. It is really hard to do. Antonio Pierce, as a player in his career, especially for the Giants in that Super Bowl year, was really good at that. He wasn't the fastest player on the field, but he was great with eye discipline and getting to the ball and knocking the ball out. And as coach told us, knocking the ball out with Lamar, he will put the ball on the ground if you hit him. You need 2 to 3 hats to get to Lamar Jackson for obvious reasons. He'll break a tackle or two. He might run past someone. But the more hands and helmets you get around Lamar Jackson, maybe the ball comes out in this game. And Isaiah Likely led all tight ends in week one with 9 receptions, 111 yards, becoming the NFL's 4th tight end since 1960 with at least 9 catches and 110 yards in a season opener. Jared Cook did that for the Raiders, by the way, in 2019, and he was a good player there. So those are some stats as we take a look at the game here. The money line, I'm seeing one of the money lines here. If you bet the Raiders outright, it's plus 340, 100 to win 340. It's a nice bet if you're a Raider fan and you're really confident in this game. I don't do a lot of stats. I don't in week one or two on this show. Once we get to week four, I'll start really diving into more stats and looking at the numbers here, because then you start to realize what your team is. How many yards are you running a game? How many yards are you throwing it? How many yards are you giving up on defense? But you don't do that after week one and two. And a lot of these teams are trying to figure out who they are. And Lamar figured out who he was in that loss. They played really good. Remember, this whole theme this week was about all the teams that played poorly and won, and then the other teams that played poorly, including the Raiders, and lost. Well, the Ravens played really good. They're one of those teams. They're an outlier. They played really well, good enough to win at Kansas City, and they didn't win the game. So we spent some time in the first hour. I just quickly want to say, as I'm looking at my phone here, as we're wrapping up the show here this hour, that the Tua story is real. There are a lot of radio hosts today, including myself, that are talking about Tua, because that was really hard to watch last night when he suffered that concussion in the third quarter against the Bills, and the way his hand and arm was stagnant. And you know, it's still too early to tell. There are some hot take artists that are saying he should retire, and there's some truth to that. I think there's a lot of people that consider Tua just too damaged. He's too young, and his brain has been damaged so much with these concussions that we know of that maybe he should retire. I don't think he's going to retire. I think he's a football player. He's going to play. He's a really good football player. Man, Buffalo owns them. I mean, Buffalo flat out owns them. But what I think is going to happen with Tua is the league. Remember, the league is now involved more so than back in the day when Bill Romanowski played and Phil Villapiano played. And you go back to the legends of the games, the hard hitters, also the players on the offensive line. Think of Jim Otto. We always mention Jim Otto, especially this year as it's the first year we don't have Jim Otto with us with his bucket head helmet and how thin that helmet was made and how many head injuries he probably succumbed to. The league is not putting up with that anymore. It took the league a long time to figure this out. And the league and Roger Goodell, they're not going to let Tua play. They know that you and I are talking about it. Everybody is on these debate shows. They're not going to let Tua come out and play next week. Just can't. So Tua's probably going to sit for at least a week or two as the Dolphins figure out what they're going to do at quarterback, and then they're going to have to jump in, and I think he'll play again. And the Dolphins are a really good team. The Raiders play the Dolphins later in the year in Miami. Could Tua not be the quarterback at that time? I don't know. I talked to friends this week. Can Deshaun Watson be the quarterback by the time the Browns get here? Will they be considering benching him if he's playing this bad? Joe Burrow doesn't look very good to me. Yet, I think Cincinnati is highly overrated. The Raiders play them this year. So this week, we're seeing that there's a lot of uncertainty around the league. I don't think there's a lot of uncertainty around the Raiders, do you? It's not uncertain. It's just who's going to play well. They know the roster they have. They put this roster together. They put together the game plan, the 12 personnel, the tight end sets. They already put it together. They know who they have and who they don't have. Now it's time to get guys healthy off the injured list and get guys to play their best football during a game, not practice. That's hard to do, but I don't see a lot of uncertainty around the Raiders. I see a lot of uncertainty, I'll tell you that much, around Miami. Would you like to be in the situation Miami's in? Or look at the New York Football Giants with Daniel Jones and the mess they're in. The Raiders have a lot of stability now, but I am concerned about the injury report and how many guys are on it, but practicing still through it. This team's got to get healthy. They're coming home next week. And after this game in Baltimore, historically, when you play the Ravens, you come home battered and bruised. That's one of the teams that push every team around, and it takes a couple of days to come out of that one. And the Raiders aren't going to have a lot of time because Carolina's coming into town, and they are a desperate, wounded Panther, as you know. And that game is not going to be easy, even though it looks to be the easiest game on the schedule. The way I'm looking at this season, nothing's going to be easy. And that's got to be the philosophy going into Baltimore. Baltimore thinks it might be easy. It's not going to be easy. The Raiders are going to make it tough on them. All right, we'll wrap it up on the other side. I got to thank our proud partners, tell you what we're doing next week. We got a big week next week. There's a lot of cool things happening in town. I'll tell you all about that. We are brought to you by Tequila Commissario. It is the Ferrari of tequilas. I'm telling you, once you try it, if you try the Reserve, I gave a bottle to the legend Mo Bradshaw. He keeps calling me and texting me, best tequila. He loves it. So Tequila Commissario, the Añejo, oh, it's fantastic. You make it with your margarita, you have it straight up on the rocks. Ask for it everywhere. Tequila Commissario, proud partner of our show as we wrap it up next. Q Myers at the top of the hour. This is Raider Nation Radio. Welcome back as we continue here on Raider Nation Radio. A Friday before an early start on Sunday. Remember the pregame? Myself and Eric Allen, that'll be at 8 in the morning as we're live from Raiders headquarters. When the Raiders are on the road, if we don't go to a game, Eric stays back. I go to about 2 games a year, so we're trying to figure out what those games are going to be. And we're back here for Baltimore on Sunday, and I think it's a really critical game. I mean, there's no other way to spin it. Your professional football team, you got to win. You got to beat everybody. You got to be good enough to beat everybody if you play a really good game. And in order for the Raiders to win this game, as we talked about all week, as I was in the building with the coach and everybody else, it's going to have to be a fantastic performance to win at Baltimore. And hopefully they can put together a very good game. So they can't have a bad game. They didn't have a terrible game at all in L.A. They just had a couple turnovers. And they weren't able to attack to the way that they're supposed to at some point in the season. I don't know when they're going to get to that point in the season, but it'd be nice. As I've said all week, my theme has been to attack and not play conservative in this game. You're not going to win a conservative game in Baltimore. Now, you might not win a shootout 35-34, but you're not going to win a conservative game in Baltimore. They're too good on both sides of the ball. They have better players overall. They got an elite quarterback. And if you're just going into this game saying, let's keep it close, let's keep it close, let's hope that we're close late, that's just not the attitude of great football players. Great football players, of course, want to get to the fourth quarter in a really tight game and have an opportunity to win. But I think for the Raiders to get to the fourth quarter with an opportunity to win, they're going to have to throw a couple of touchdowns in the first half. They're going to have to go four wide. They're going to have to run these elaborate crossing routes. And they're going to have to block better up front on the offensive line. So as I'm here with Bobby, we had interviews in the first hour, and I continue here live with Bobby. We're trying to figure out where we're going to fit this every week because it's only really going into week two. Every week I will sit down with Rich Gannon, the former Raiders MVP, along with Eric Allen. It's the show that we're going to do every Monday. And I want you to hear that content because I don't think you have, and I think it's really good. So earlier in the week, we sat down with the former MVP, Rich Gannon, who watched the game, will break down the game with us every week, and then look ahead to the upcoming opponent. Here's the great Rich Gannon, Eric Allen, and myself.
Let's welcome in former Raiders MVP, Rich Gannon, who joins us every week. And Rich, let's begin overall and start off with the overall performance of Gardner Minshew in his debut for the Silver and Black.
Well, JT, I really felt like it was a tale of two halves, not just for Gardner, but the entire Raider team. I thought he played some really good football. I think when you look at his body work, all things considered, footwork, decision-making, anticipation, accuracy, I thought he looked really comfortable. And that's saying something. You know, this is his first year in the system with Luke Getsy. When you look at some of the issues they had protecting, you know, they did. I thought the Chargers did a great job moving him off the spot. But I thought for the most part, I mean, look, you know, he gets fooled on the one play where you have the fumble. I think, you know, you look at the batted ball, and of course, Jameer White puts the ball on the ground. So, you know, the turnovers in a game like that, when you go on the road in the division, you have to have a clean performance. The Raiders didn't have that. But I thought overall, I don't want to say impressed, but I felt pretty good about what I saw from Gardner Minshew on week one.
Yeah, I agree, Rich. I tell you, I like the fact that he spread the ball around, hitting so many different receivers. Talks a little bit about what it takes to be able to be the kind of guy who can spread the ball around, how useful that is on offense.
Eric, you're right. I just, you know, when I look at this offense and what they can be, I'm excited. And obviously, you got to start with Brock Bowers and the tight end situation. I think, you know, Luke Getsy, that's going to continue to evolve. There's so many weapons on offense. You know, obviously, you've got great receivers. Now the tight end position, we can use, you know, more tight end personnel. I thought the one thing that was disappointing yesterday was the Raiders' inability to kind of control the line of scrimmage and pound the football a little bit. And that's something that they have to do. I think, you know, coming out of preseason, I thought the two big things had to happen for the Raiders to have success in the first month of the season. I didn't like what I saw from the run defense against the Vikings and the Cowboys in the preseason with the ones. And yesterday, I thought in the first half, they did a great job. And just the second half was awful. I mean, 131 rushing yards from J.K. Dobbins in the second half. And that's really, and a couple of big runs, as you said, some explosive runs, a 61-yard run. We talked about that before we jumped on the air. I mean, you've got a defensive tackle that jumps in the A-gap. Devon Diablo jumps, takes it on with the wrong shoulder and also jumps in the A-gap. And then you got a safety that comes screaming downhill out of control, Marcus Epps. And he takes a poor angle. Next thing you know, you got a run that goes out the back door for 61 yards. Honestly, when you look at that film, there's probably three or four plays on both sides of the ball that if you could just get that corrected, the Raiders come away with a win yesterday in Los Angeles.
Rich, it was a tale of two halves. And if you look at the first half, I thought the Raiders, if they were going to win the game, had to win it in the first half. I'm talking win it. Go up 14-3 or go up 17-3 or 17-6. Take a couple of shots. Why didn't the Raiders and Luke Getsy attack downfield? Take a couple of big shots. A lot of it was underneath to Gardner Minshew. And again, he spread the ball out to eight different receivers. There's a lot of good to take out of it. But I don't think they challenged the Chargers at all deep downfield. And I think the Chargers then got comfortable with Khalil Mack and Bosa and attacking the quarterback.
Yeah, I think a little bit of a conservative approach early, and I think part of that is making sure Gardner gets off to a good start. But when you've got a guy like Devontae Adams, I mean, honestly, when you look at your call sheet, that guy's got to get touches early in the game. You've got to get him into the flow of a game. And I didn't think that happened yesterday. And the other thing, I learned this from Charles Woodson and Eric Allen. These are guys that were the best in the business. If you don't test these corners early in the game, you give them a free pass. And you can't do that. You've got to make them play four quarters, and you've got to make them defend the deep ball. Al Davis used to say that all the time. I didn't feel that the Raiders did that enough yesterday. Obviously, teams are going to go out of their way to scheme and take away Devontae Adams. You're going to see a lot of rotations and different things to make sure that he's not a big factor. But you've got to move him around. You've got to change the launch point for Devontae Adams. You've got to get him into bunch and stack releases so that he gets an opportunity to get touches. That didn't happen. And I thought that was a big issue. I thought the way the game played out defensively, and I really feel like the first month of the season, the Raiders defense has to dominate, and the Raiders have to be able to run the football successfully to really get Gardner Minshew comfortable in this offense. And defensively in the first half, guys, you can't ask for any more. I mean, the Chargers were 0 for 7 on third down. I think they had 83 yards of offense and just two first downs in the first half. So they did some really good things defensively. Offensively, they didn't take advantage of that. They didn't capitalize on field position. I thought some scoring opportunities in the first half.
I think you're right, actually. When you talk about defense first half and tremendous job, let's talk about running game, though. Those short yardage opportunities that we did not make, I think, led to Coach AP not going for it later in the game. Talk to us a little about what the mindset is when you're trying to go for a short yardage situation.
Yeah, we've got to be better up front. You know, I didn't like the protection. We gave up four sacks. Gardner Minshew was moving quite a bit. And he's a guy that needs a clean pocket. He's only 6'1". He's not a 6'5" guy that, you know, Justin Herbert is. And so it's hard. I was 6'3". It's hard for me to see over the line of scrimmage sometimes. He needs a clean pocket in front of him. That didn't happen enough yesterday. I also thought there were too many runs that barely got back to line of scrimmage. You know, you can't have negative runs. I didn't feel like the front five played as well as they needed to do. We had too many draws at the line of scrimmage. We weren't moving people off the line of scrimmage. We weren't getting up on the second level. We didn't have any of the explosive runs that the Chargers had, or at least not enough of them. And that has to change this week against the Ravens. Look, if you have to go on the road against the Ravens and you get behind in the down and distance, it's going to be a long day for Gardner Minshew and the Raiders.
You know, Rich, you nailed it. There was early in the game, there was a 2nd-and-1 and a 3rd-and-1. And on 2nd-and-1, they didn't take a shot, and they ran it into the pile. And the same thing on 3rd-down. And Zamir White, the strength of him with the size of his legs and his ability, he's supposed to be a great potential short yardage back. We don't know if he's going to have these Dobbin runs that we saw, but he better be good on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. And the offensive line just got blown up. And I don't think there was a lot of thought going into those plays, maybe getting them on the outside. So what do the Raiders need to fix there? Because we thought the goal was to build a bully, to find a way to win in the trenches, to come into a game and physicality was going to be the X factor, and the Chargers won that side of the ball.
JT, you bring up a great point. You can't talk about being a tough, physical, offensive team. You can't talk about being a great running team. You can't talk about being a great short yardage and goal line team if you don't major in it. If it isn't in your DNA. You know, when Eric and I were together, we had Zach Crockett. We also had Tyrone Wheatley. And we also had Lincoln Kennedy and Mo Collins and Barrett Robbins and Steve Wisniewski and guys that would knock you back off the ball. And we got in 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. We didn't think we knew we were going to get them converted. We're the best short yardage and goal line offense in football for a number of years. I might be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame if we were able to throw the ball inside the 10-yard line. Never got a chance to throw it. John Gruden calls, give it to Zach Crockett or Tyrone Wheatley. And it made sense. But we never threw the ball down in that part of the field. We didn't have to because we had a great line of scrimmage, a great offensive line, and we moved people off the ball. And to me, if you're Luke Getsy and you go back and look at that, we can't have 2nd-and-1s and 3rd-and-1s and 4th-and-1s and not feel like we're going to convert everyone. It's a mindset.
Yeah, I believe so. When you talk about going against those football teams in practice, those short yardage situations, oh, man, it was something else to see. Just a dominant force up front. I don't think we're there yet, but that's the kind of football team I think we want to be. And the most important thing when you talk about football, I guess you're talking about time of possessions, talking about penalties, which you did an outstanding job of again. So hats off to the Raiders for not having a lot of penalties. More importantly, though, turnovers, Rich. You know that ultimately when there's two evenly matched match football teams, that's the one stat that usually tells you who's the winner or not. Talk a little bit about those turnovers yesterday from our offense.
Yeah. When I look back on the game, you know, you hate to lose the game, and you know, you to pack up your stuff and jump on the plane. You know what that feeling's like, and you come in on Mondays, and everybody feels bad about themselves. If I'm Antonio Pierce, I think there's a lot of positives that come out of the game. We talked about how the defense played in the first half. We talked about some of the things that Gardner Minshew did. We talked about Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer and this offense and what it could look like. But there's some things that have to get cleaned up on both sides of the ball. We talked about some of the explosives on defense. You can't give up a 61-yard run. You got to do a better job getting off the field. You got to put two halves of football together, right? You can't have a great first half and come out in the second half and let, you know, J.K. Dobbins run wild. I just think there's some things that have to get cleaned up. Offensively, the turnovers. I mean, you can't turn the ball over. You can't go on the road. It's hard enough to go on the road in the division and win. We talked about having a clean performance. You can't turn it over three times. You give yourself no chance. And I just think that's AP's message today. Guys, We didn't get accomplished what we wanted to. There's a lot of good things out there on film. Let's look at that. Let's embrace that, and let's get cleaned up what we can get cleaned up. And I think when you make that a point of emphasis, some of the things we talked about, eliminating the explosive plays, being better in short yardage and goal line situations, not turning the football over, I think there's some things that the Raiders can improve upon. They get a well-rested Ravens team that's coming off of a nail-biter last Thursday night, so it's going to be a real test, a quick turnaround for the Raiders this week.
Rich, Justin Herbert was very pedestrian. I mean, come on. You get him in a game, he might not have another game like that. I mean, this was a game where they were just below average in the first half of that game. They couldn't run a play. They were three and out. The Raiders set the edge. They were doing everything they wanted to do, and Herbert didn't look comfortable. Man, you talk about a game you want back to say, look, if we can jump on this team and go up 14-3, I thought they could put the game away in the second half, make a couple of plays. But what'd you see with the Raiders' defense on at least slowing down Herbert until those big runs, and then he finally made a couple of big throws to ice the game?
BT, I agree 100%. It didn't look like the same Justin Herbert, right? This is the guy that had a fractured finger. He's missed some time. And the one thing I'll say about Herbert and the Chargers, there's a lot of change around this young quarterback. Keenan Allen's no longer there. Mike Williams is no longer there. Austin Eckler, they were his three biggest weapons offensively. So they're going through a bit of a makeover offensively. They bring in Greg Roman. Don't kid yourself. Greg Roman worked with Jim's brother John in Baltimore, and it's all about beating you up physically. They go out and draft Joe Alt. So they're trying to get this offensive line cleaned up. The quarterback's been hit and sacked way too much the last three seasons, so they got to address that. They're trying to address that, and they bring in these two backs from Baltimore. And that's, I think, they're changing who they are a little bit in terms of their philosophy offensively. I think there's going to be some growing pains with the Chargers, and I agree with you. I think the Raiders let one slip away because, you know, this team is a team that I think, I'm talking about the Chargers, will be a better football team in November and December. They're a team that may get better as the season goes along because, look, they've got a new coaching staff, you've got new schemes, you got a lot of new players playing for the first time together, and you know, that's what we saw yesterday from the Chargers. But trust me, they're going to look a lot different than they did a year ago at Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley was out of control as a head coach, you know, and I don't think he helped his young quarterback. Jim Harbaugh's played the position. He's coached the position. He sees the game through the eyes of the quarterback, and he's going to go out of his way to surround Justin Herbert with a good offensive line and a capable running game.
Yeah, Rich, you've played with you know, some great Hall of Fame receivers and Tim and Jerry. And I tell you, you know, going to a football game, really knowing that Davante Adams has had the Chargers every time he plays them. What do you think about the targets, the impact that Davante had?
You know, you want to see more, right, Eric? He's one of the best receivers in the game. He's one of the best players in the game. And you know, I just remember spending a lot of time with John Gruden when I was with the Raiders, and he had this call sheet. And Eric, you used to see the call sheet. I mean, it was like pages and pages of calls, right? And he had these sections on his call sheet, right? And he'd show them to me. He'd say, hey, you see this section right here? Tim Brown section, okay? section right here? This is the Jerry Rice section. I'm going to make sure that these guys get touches in the game. You got to make sure that within your scheme, within the framework of the structure of your offensive system, that those guys are going to get involved early. It helps Gardner Minshew, right? It helps everybody. But, you know, that's important. And, Luke Getsy, I think the one thing that was really apparent to me after week one, a lot of play callers that change teams will go back and look at their body of work and say, you know what? I could have been better. I could have done a better job in this situation. I've got to do a better job next week, making sure that I get my playmakers involved early. Eric, you know, as you know, one of the best defensive backs to play the game, if you shut a receiver down in the first half, now all of a sudden he's not sure. Now all of a sudden he's not in rhythm. Now all of a sudden he's complaining on the sidelines to the quarterback. He's going to the coordinator. You got him. And it's hard. It's hard once they get off to a slow start to crank them up in the second half. And I think that's one thing you got to be smart with a guy like Davante Adams. I want this guy to get off to a good start. I want him to get comfortable and be confident and really make an impact on the game.
Rich, last one, and I would take the over on JT asking you this question all year long. Can we play with speed and get out of the huddle? Can we run plays that aren't 40 seconds with the clock is counting down 3, 2, and 1? Can they sprint Gardner outside the pocket and make it easier for him? I don't think you want to watch the Charger defense rest. Let them set their defense. Can this team play faster with all of these weapons so they can catch the other team, the other defense at times, maybe asleep or not with the proper personnel?
Absolutely. And I would say this, JT, the one thing that was really apparent yesterday, I watched just about every game. I mean, I'm so just overwhelmed right now with all the film and game tape and everything and watching these games. The one thing that was really apparent to me yesterday was when you think about players, you got to also evaluate the coaches. And the preseason is, you know, a different rhythm. You get into the regular season, and everything speeds up, right? Substitutions, you got young players playing for the first time. You got guys in the huddle whose eyes are crazy. You know, their heartbeat's going crazy because they're playing for the first time. And so it even affects the play callers. And I think Luke Getsy in the preseason did a good job of play entry and personnel. But I think yesterday it took a little while. I think Gardner can help that process. It has to get better. We want more time at the line of scrimmage. Ideally, I'd like to have Gardner Minshew have 12, 13 seconds, maybe 15 seconds at the line of scrimmage to preview the front, preview the coverage, make the changes that are necessary. You can't waste plays in the NFL. I thought there was some opportunities yesterday to take advantage of some fronts and coverages, and the Raiders never got to it.
Appreciate you, Rich. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Rich.
You're the best.
Man, Rich is good, isn't he? So Rich is a national analyst, but Rich is diehard Raiders. And Rich's claim and his fame came from the Raiders. He's a very good player in this league, but as you know, he's an MVP from the Raiders. He led the Raiders to 2 AFC championship games, a Super Bowl, was an MVP in the league, a 2-time Pro Bowl MVP. I always bring that up. That was a big deal when he won those MVPs in the Pro Bowl because they play games then. Now they play archery or beanbag throws or golf at the Pro Bowl. What a disgrace what they've done to the Pro Bowl. Rich won a couple MVPs, and that's a big deal. That's a trophy. That is a gorgeous trophy, and that's Rich Gannon. So we might play that on Thursdays going forward. We might play that on Fridays. I don't know for sure, but we're definitely going to fit Rich Gannon in every week for a portion of his commentary. All of this is living right now. You can see it at Raiders.com or on the Raiders YouTube feed. Big week for us this week as we launch the show. So every Wednesday, we'll be live from the facility, from headquarters. We'll broadcast the show there. They're also going to take the radio show and make it Raiders Rundown, which is a new video series because we're going to have a lot of interviews that day too. Some days are going to be heavy on the phones. Other days will be more interview-based, but we're going to give you the content that you expect every week on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Q coming up at the top of the hour as we continue. So we're going to look. We have been looking all day at this opportunity. I'll wrap it up with that. We'll thank our proud partners who have been with us all week and an announcement on where I'll be again next Friday, a week from today. Everybody look at your watch. I need you. I need you a week from today if you live in Las Vegas. I'll tell you about that next as we continue. Friday. Getaway Friday here as the Raiders go to Baltimore on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio brought to you by Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love as I just went to their new store out there on 5th and North Las Vegas. I love it. I sent my son to Raisin Cane's 2 nights ago, and he's a Caniac, and we got the combo box for the family. Got 2 of them. Everybody loved it. That Raisin Cane's, those chicken fingers are the best. The buttery Texas toast, the cane sauce, and get a lemonade or a sweet or unsweetened iced tea to go. Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love and proud partner of UNLV. Go get a win at Kansas, man. What a big story for UNLV. We'll wrap it up next. This is Raider Nation Radio. All right, and thanks to Bobby, and thanks for playing some Journey here on the way out. I got a name drop alert coming up here in a minute. Q's coming up here in about 15 minutes. Keep it to Q. I heard him today, obviously, as Antonio Pierce spoke. We usually play some of that. We didn't get around. We played a little bit of it in the monologue here as we're wrapping up our final hour of the week here over at Las Vegas Ballpark, the firemen and the police officers charity game. Looking forward to popping in there tonight. Jim Gemma and our friends, and the Canelo fight coming up here. Wanted Bobby to play Journey as we wrapped it up there, because last night I had dinner, name drop alert, with Jonathan Cain, who's the keyboard player for Journey and all of his great moments of his entire career. And it was really cool because Jonathan Cain is, he wrote Faithfully and all the big hits for Journey, and he's kind of become a friend through my friend John O'Donnell, who works at One Steak at the bar there. So last night he invited us down because Jonathan was there, and Journey played a private event, and they're on their way to Rock in Rio, one of the biggest concerts in the world. So Jonathan's leaving today to go to Rio. They play Rock in Rio, and that'll be in front of 120,000 people. And what's cool about Jonathan, in the encore for Journey, he wears a jersey, a sports jersey. I saw him in San Diego a couple of weeks ago. He came out with a Padre jersey. In Vegas, he came out with a Golden Knights jersey. So I asked him, I go, you're coming out with the Brazil soccer jersey? And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, Jonathan, they don't have an NFL team. They don't have a baseball team. They're soccer, and they're Brazil. And he looked at me and he said, you're right. So I think I helped him, because he's going to either wear a Pele or Ronaldo jersey, Ronaldo of Brazil. And I said, look, man, I don't ask any favors ever. I know my ground. I know my rules. I go, if you can get me a photo of you at Rock in Rio in front of 120,000 people with that Brazil jersey on, I'd appreciate it. And he said, yeah, no problem with that. And we had a great night last night. I want to thank Cliff Atkinson, who is the president of Virgin Hotels. And he was walking the property. He sat down with us for a drink, and we're going to have him on next week, and what they're doing at Virgin is really cool. They're bringing back the center bar, the pool, all the restaurants that we talk about there and what we do there. So Virgin is with us, and we're going to be doing a lot with them. They're going to be the home of F1, and they want a lot of Raider fans to come. If you're looking for a room rate, you're looking for somewhere to stay, I'm always getting that. People are always asking me, where do we stay? And I'm going to thank our proud partners here. Where do you stay when you come to Vegas? You know, it used to be back in the day, everybody was hooked up. There were comps. You can stay here or there. It's not that case anymore, man. I mean, there's deals, and I try to tell you about them on this show. But, you know, you got to go online. You got to find your room rates, where you like to stay, what part of the strip. But I always point to our partners first, and we'll start with Virgin Hotels. They're right there. You can get to the strip real easy. They're right off the strip, and the property looks amazing, especially if you want to go and buy entrance into their pools if you want to go on a staycation or if you're a local here. M Resort, Spa and Casino, they got Ice Cube coming up, heading into that home opener, which is a big deal. The president of Raider Nation is Ice Cube, and he's going to play, and the Raiders are going to need some mojo going into that game most likely, and he's out here for that. I'm assuming he's going to go to the game. I can't confirm that, but he's playing there at the M. We appreciate that. We want to thank Boyd Gaming. Locals, locals, locals. If you're here in town, but if you're from out of town, if you're in Vegas, everybody knows about Boyd Gaming, all their properties. Proud partner officially with the Raider organization and our radio show. I'll go to any of their locations. The Orleans has great viewing spots to watch Raider games. Fantastic. All of their workers are dressed up in Raider jerseys. They do a great job. The Gold Coast, which has one of my favorite Chinese restaurants in the world inside the Gold Coast. Go there. You'll see what the Boyd family does for the Raiders. And Resorts World, one of our other casino properties. Thursday night, Doghouse Saloon is where we have Monday and Thursday night football. But you'll be catching me a couple times a month Thursday night at Doghouse. It's right there. That's where the sports book is. They do an amazing job. Whenever you go into Resorts World, you just feel like you're somewhere else. You're somewhere else, somewhere around the world. It's got the Asian influence, but Vegas, you can walk right out onto the strip. We love Resorts World and what they do there. Wally's is a great place to get some charcuterie. I said it. How many people can say charcuterie and sit out at Wally's right there where the globe is? Try it. It's fantastic. My wife and I love going there. I want to thank the Black Hole. The Black Hole, Mark Jones and Cisco and the entire group are gearing up for next Friday. And that's the announcement I wanted to make. Next Friday, we're live noon to 2 at Whiskey Stadium. Now, the whiskey bars all throughout town, the Herbst family, what they do, fantastic. But their big new flagship, I think it's their flagship, is the Whiskey Stadium Bar, which is right across from Allegiant Stadium. We'll be there from noon to 2 with the Black Hole. And Black Hole guys come in on Friday, some come in on Saturday. But I really need you to come out next Friday, everybody, if you can do that for me. Come on out to Whiskey Stadium. There's parking right there. Come on in, have a beverage, sit down with us. We're going to do an old-fashioned radio remote going into the Raiders' first home game. I'd like the record to be 1-1. If it's not, we're going to need you even more. So that's what I wanted to announce here next Friday, Whiskey Stadium, and we're excited to be here. And that'll be also brought to you by Modelo, the number one beer in America, Canelo. Saul Canelo Alvarez. They'll be drinking Corona and Modelo. We thank Steve Gomez and his entire team there as we gear up for that. So Modelo will be a part of that remote that we do. And they're part of everything we do because they're the number one beer in America. And if you're not drinking Modelo, I don't know what you're drinking. I'm not a beer snob, but once I started drinking Modelo, my dad now drinks Modelo, 86 years old, back in New Paltz today. Talked to him before the show. My dad's got a bucket of Modelo going like I do coming up here in a bit. The DiCastaverde Law Group, Orlando and Alex DiCastaverde, the best. The brothers win. The brothers have your back. If you get into an accident, and I hope you don't. I hope you don't get into an accident, but driving around this place. I took an Uber last night back from Virgin. It's like NASCAR getting on the 215 heading home, man. If you get into an accident, call the DiCastaverde Law Group, 702-222-9999. I just mentioned Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of tequilas. Thanks to the Maloof family for including me with that unbelievable brand. Golden Entertainment, which is PT's. They got the brand new location on Buffalo, which is going to be fantastic if you haven't been to it yet. I've been there twice, and it's unbelievable, their new location and what they're doing. The Great American Pub, right off of Buffalo. You can't miss it. Right off the 215 near the Durango Casino. Go check that out. I think you'll be blown away if you're a sports fan what they did. Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. Charles. I've been texting Charles. I hope to get him on next week for Once a Raider, Always a Raider. Woodson Bourbon Whiskey, proud partner of our show. Charles is building his Hall of Fame brand with his wine and whiskey brand. So we love Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. And they got those new bottles. I haven't got one yet. Wink, wink. Hey, somebody, I haven't got my Woodson Bourbon Whiskey 65 Anniversary Raiders. God, that looks good. It'll look good in my bar in my house. Tito's, my go-to vodka. Tito's Handmade Vodka. We love Tito's, one of the original great American success stories. Can you believe this? Tito's now. Nobody else, us. Proud partner of our show. We thank Tito's and their entire team for what they do for us. Mike over at La Casa Cigars Lounge. I hope to get over there tonight. Why not? I'm done right after this show. Head on over to La Casa for live music, the best cigar selection in town. It's real Raider friendly because Mike and Sandy, they're diehard Raider fans, season ticket holders. We got a remote coming up with them. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Teo Johnson's M-Ride. You want to get to the game? Use the code word BRICK. Go to mridelv.com. Listen, getting to a game is pretty easy for me. I go early. I know where to park. A lot of other people are asking me, how do I get to the game on time? M-Ride it. Just take M-Ride. It'll pick you up at various casinos, take you in and out of the place. Luxury buses that the players use. I love M-Ride. Proud partner of our show, Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. So they're proud partners of UNLV. UNLV plays tonight at Kansas. My buddy Steve Stallworth is on the ground there. And a lot of other friends. UNLV, man, is popping around here. And they're proud partners with Raisin Cane's. Go be a Kaniac. Get the box combo for the game tonight. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. Our friends at Remy, thank you so much. Remy is going to be a part of our La Casa remote. The Remy Cointreau, when you're making your margarita and that Navy Strength rum. I think it's 140 proof. Woo! If you're a rum drinker, They got the new Navy Strength Rum. You can get that at Lee's Liquor, grocery stores around here. Drink responsibly, especially the Navy Strength. It's unbelievable. And Tommy White and the 872 laborers who built this town on time and on budget. They built the Legion Stadium. You better believe they're my proud partner. I'll go say hi to Tommy in his suite as the Raiders open up next week. So, final thoughts before Q comes up and me and Bobby say goodbye till Sunday. Early game on Sunday, get your game day on early. Don't know where you're going to watch the game, but get going. This is a big one. As we debated all week, how do you go win this game? We had Rich Gannon on, Lincoln Kennedy, right, joined us. Antonio Pierce, everybody we talked about. I love what Coach Pierce said. This is next man up. This is one of the best teams in all of football. They have to play great to win the game. Are the Raiders due to play a great game? I would say so. I didn't think they played a great game in Los Angeles. I didn't think they had an identity in Los Angeles. They wanted their identity to be run, and they handed it off in second and one and third and one and couldn't pick up an early first down and had a punt. And right there, the Chargers said, hey, they can't run it on us. Yes, that's what the Chargers said. They can't run it on us in our basic personnel, so we'll sit back and we'll let them throw because they can't run on us. And the Raiders broke a couple of big runs. Zeus had a fumble. Madison caught that swing pass, which was beautiful. But the Raiders in week one proved that they are not a bully in the running game, probably because the offensive line didn't click. Whitehair didn't play well. The interior offensive line did not have a great game. Colt Miller didn't have a great game against Khalil Mack. How about this offensive line have a big game? How about this offensive line that's getting paid handsomely? Everybody who's getting paid up there, how about they strap up that chin strap and run it? Because if there's one weakness, one, on the Ravens, it's probably, you know, their offensive line's getting a little bit older. Ronnie Stanley played at Gorman. He's a potential Hall of Famer. But that offensive line is not great. The defensive line is as good as the Raiders. They don't have Max and Christian Wilkins, but they're a little bit healthier. Can the Raiders establish the run early? I say the hell with it. Let's go four wide right out of the gate with Brock Bowers. Let's put Brock in motion. Let's move Brock Bowers around and get him the damn football. Get Brock Bowers 10 touches and Devontae 10. That's the big thing I'm writing here in my planner. I live out of my planner. I just wrote it. 10 touches for Brock, and let me write Devontae. I'm going to talk about this Sunday on the postgame show, hopefully Monday, coming off a win. I want to see 20 targets, 20. To Bowers and Devontae combined. No disrespect to Jacoby. Get him whatever you can. Big Mike, Michael Mayer. But this is a game that I spent all week saying that the Raiders have to empty out the Al Davis vault, empty out the playbook. Luke Getsy, I don't want to hear that the team's not gelling yet. They're holding anything back. You don't hold anything back against the Ravens. You play in Baltimore once every 6 or 7 years. You bring your playbook there and you unload it. You unload it there, and it's got to be a vertical passing game. Give Gardner Minshew some time so he can unleash to Trey Tucker. I want to see, ready? Another thing to write down here, two deep balls in the first half to Trey Tucker. I don't care if they're incomplete. Complete one of the two, but two deep balls to tell that entire secondary, Hamilton and them, that, hey, we're coming, and we're going to try to throw over the top. I want to see the ball in the end zone. I want to see the ball deep. I want to see Gardner step into a deep ball. He can do it and wing it around. Hey, I'm optimistic, everybody. I'm going to be that guy in the first couple of games of the season. And people have beaten Baltimore before. The Raiders have beaten Baltimore before. Q Myers coming up next. Thanks to Bobby, our guest, who joined us today. Thanks to everybody who listens to the show. If you missed any portion of it, it's all up at lvsportsnetwork.com. And again, thanks to all of our proud partners. We're excited about all of them. They give us an opportunity to have a show on Raider Nation Radio.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.